Welcome to the Hidden Potential Podcast. I'm your host, Homer Hargrove, and today we are going to be having an interview time with a good friend of mine, Simon Andrade. And Simon is actually the host of the Free and Redeemed Podcast. He speaks to men and women who are struggling in their Christian faith, and he's also a committed member of Limitless Church. And Limitless Church used to be called House of Prayer Church. And wanting to impact leadership to other believers, helping them to know the truth with daily partnership with the Holy Spirit. And he hopes to become a Christian recovery coach this year and ultimately work for the kingdom of God. So Simon, it's been really good, man. I feel like ever since we kind of like reconnected, I mean, when I first met you at then Hop Church, now Limitless Church. You always seem like very articulate. You're always really articulate. And so now that you have like your own podcast, you're kind of, I see you pursuing ministry. I feel like a lot of people within my audience could really identify with you in the sense that they have this aspiration for ministry and kind of don't know where to start. And when I see the way that you've handled things, the way that you just like starting a podcast, trying to just really go at it, I sense this ambition within yourself to where you kind of like are past the waiting phase and you're ready in the initiation phase. So can you kind of just speak to that and what was going on in your heart when you've kind of made that phase? And if I'm like way off, then you know, let me know. But just feel free to kind of share on that.
Yeah, no. First of all, I mean, it's good being on the show. It's want to go ahead and start off by saying thank you for allowing me to be a guest. But to really answer your question, so yeah, I mean, what's interesting about in this case, like starting the podcast, was it was not so much something I envisioned. You know, in the early years of my Christian walk, it was not something that, you know, growing up as a kid, I'm like, hey, one day I'm going to do a podcast show and speak about ministry, speak about the gospel and all this stuff. It was more or less something that I felt like the Lord kind of placed in my heart during a certain season in my life. And it's funny how you mentioned waiting season, because there was a specific time in my life. And I feel like as we go on in this episode, I'll go into more detail about it. But I really felt like I was in a time in my life, in my walk with God, where it was almost like a wilderness season. You know, things were not going so well. My faith was really struggling. And it was kind of that point where I'm just like, you know, you're almost like wanting to lose your faith in God.
Yeah.
And then it's just, you know, one day being at the gym, hearing a powerful testimony. And of course, it's on a podcast show. It was called Pure Sex Radio, that specifically speaks on male purity. When I heard the testimony, I was like, man, that's amazing. And then just out of nowhere, feeling something in my spirit saying, now I'm calling you to do it. And I was kind of like, oh, Lord, starting a podcast, I don't see myself doing that. And multiple times, I got to say, it was like kind of that tug in my heart. And I think the excuses I always was making was like, well, I don't know how to record. I don't know anything about using a camera, video editing, audio editing. But then it really became that thing where it was almost like a testimony where I knew somehow, some way, what I was going through personally in my life. It was like the Lord was using that time to eventually allow me to speak it. And I feel like ultimately that's what our Christian walk is mainly used for, is being a testimony to others who may not believe in God at all, or ultimately may struggle in their faith and not sure if God's going to get them out of a certain situation. And that's what I want to really accomplish, at least on this podcast show, is encouraging believers, like, you know, God can do anything in your life, sometimes even in the most destructive moments in your specific life. So yeah, I guess if that answers the question, that's what really inspired me to start a podcast and actually take an initiative step. Because ultimately, looking back maybe two years ago, actually nearly 3 years ago, if I tried starting a podcast back then, emotionally and spiritually, I would not have been ready for it. But ultimately, it's like over time, the initiative kind of came within itself based on the doors God opened in my life. So,
I definitely feel that. And what I what I hear from your story is what I witness a lot with other people, and that is finding purpose out of your pain. And it's like through your struggle, you realize something that you're actually passionate about, and it bursts kind of like this new direction, this passion for you. And so that's super powerful. I want to kind of lean into let's kind of like just lean into that pain a little bit, not to, you know, go past vulnerabilities, but how do you feel like the church, and I'm not saying specifically to Limitless Church, I'm talking about the church as a whole, because what I feel like is often so many times people feel like they're the only ones experiencing pain within the church. How did you go about navigating that, being so like kind of close to ministry and going through that pain where it seems like, was it private for you? Was it public? I mean, how did you go about handling that within the church?
Yeah. So that's an interesting question. And I guess to really kind of dig deep on that, I want to start off by saying this. So kind of long story short testimony, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 19 years old. I was very rebellious in high school. I grew up in the church, actually. My mom and dad believed in God. My grandparents were on fire for God. And of course, for those who are listening who know Limitless Church or know House of Prayer Church, you know that the Andrade family had a huge movement at one point. And what's crazy is, you know, when I was a teenager, there were times in my life I never really believed that God existed. And sometimes, I'll be honest, I would go to youth group. Some of my cousins and other people, they would speak about Jesus. And I remember being a 17-year-old sitting there in the congregation like, man, how do they know that this so-called God Almighty who split the Red Sea and who brought a person down to the world who fed 5,000 people with fish and bread, like, how do they know all that stuff is real?
Right.
And then, of course, long story short, you know, God made himself very real to me during a really surprising situation. It was just simply me being in a dark situation back then, saying, God, if you're real, save me, mainly save my family. But I'm the one, you know, I deserve to die. And then sure enough, randomly the next day, I go to Ingram Park Mall. Some gentleman just approaches me and says, you've been asking if God is real. Well, I'm here to tell you he is real. And he wants to change your life.
<Here's>
and
your
it's
sign.
Like, if that's not convincing, I don't know what else to tell you. But when I gave my life to Christ, one thing I can really say is Christianity is probably the most notable religion around the world. And I'm using that key term with quotation marks, religion. And the reason why I say that, and to kind of add on to the question about pain, is there are so many myths, even to this day, that I hear all the time with either different people I evangelize to or ultimately people I speak to in the church. And it's the common myths of, well, Christianity, you have to be perfect and perfect before God before you give your life to him. You have to give up all this stuff. I think the most common myth flying around is if you give your life to Jesus, everything is just, all of your problems are just going to go away. You know, life's just going to be such this amazing.
So much better.
Yeah, it's going to be so much better. And when I gave my life to Christ, I'll admit, like, that was something I really was not too sure. Like, God, can you make my life better? But what we don't realize is when Jesus was here on earth, right before he was about to be crucified, it was during the moment of the Last Supper in John 16, he tells the disciples, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So long story short, in my faith, you know, I grew up, went to so many conferences, went to different youth encounters, and ultimately was just trying to grow in my faith. But each and every year, each and every time, it's like things would either get difficult or there were be times where I would feel like my faith would dry up.
Right.
But there was this one specific moment in my life where I'm like, God, I'm ready for something different. And I'm ready to really see how I could really be effective in ministry. And I always felt like God would speak to me about, you know, doing something new in my life. But suddenly, you know, 2020 came. And when 2020 came, it's just like so many different events happened that I was not expecting. And matter of fact, today, one of it actually included losing three loved ones. more specifically grandparents, within the span of 2 months.
Oh man, that's hard.
Yeah. And matter of fact, today is actually my grandmother's anniversary. It's going to be 3 years since.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was that. There was heartbreak, emotional heartbreak. And when it came to experiencing pain that specific year, I felt like my specific pain in the church was definitely not private. It was something that I was really crying out for and screaming out at the top of my lungs. But something I think I really learned within my pain was, you know, even though it was in the midst of me not understanding certain things, I think one thing that God was making very clear to me at the time, but I just was not realizing it at the time, was how faithful he really was, if that makes sense. And going through that pain, I think something to really kind of note about this is each and every step, each and every month of that specific year, it's like, man, life just got tougher and tougher and tougher. And it was to a point where I could even say there was one whole entire month where I was not praying to God and feeling like he was super far away.
Right.
But ultimately, when 2021 came, it's like the Lord, or it was like late 2020, like during Christmas and the holiday season, really feeling like there was a tug in my heart, or one day just having a dream and the Lord making it very clear to me, he wanted me to take a step of faith in my walk with God. And it was that moment in my life where I realized, oh my gosh, am I supposed to do that? And that was separating from cutting certain people out of my life, separating from certain things in life. And I knew it was something I was so used to, but the Lord put me in that situation, like, are you going to trust me?
Right.
And when I made that step, it was a very hard decision to make. But looking back, I actually realized, oh my gosh, imagine if I did not take a step of faith. But ultimately, long story short, when I went through that pain, the Lord over time really made me just realize one thing about Christianity, was life is not about being perfect. Life is not about always having just this blessed life that some people want to envision with Christianity. Life is about building endurance, building perseverance. And I, over the years in my, you know, because it's almost going to be 12 years since, you know, since I gave my life to Christ.
Well,
I realized
congrats.
I mean, count every year as you can, but it made me realize, and I've seen this with different leaders, different pastors, people who are fervently serving the Lord, all go through something tough in their life. And I think what really makes Christianity stand out from other religions is, you know, life is about becoming stronger from your pain. Life's about becoming stronger and making you more mature in your pain, because ultimately, if God wants to use you and give you a blessed life, sometimes you actually have to have a testimony getting to that. I know I went on a little bit, but ultimately that's what I can really say what I'm looking to do with this specific episode, and encourage listeners, because I know you speak to a lot of leaders in your show, is to be a leader, it really takes building endurance in your faith or whatnot. So
I love that. And even just the thought of two things that stick out to me, what you're saying is faith and endurance. And the idea of faith, I feel like we often imagine it to be like just this like pretty, you know, butterfly in our hearts. And faith is simply believing without seeing. And so often our prayers are, God, just show me. And that's the opposite of faith. If we were to see the result, well, we wouldn't really need faith, would we? And and faith is truly that not just believing, but acting without really knowing the outcome. That faith is what's after the equal sign. And so often what happens is we initiate, and it's almost like we're waiting for the completion. We pour out this foundation, we pour out like cement, and we do all, I think that a lot of times, especially in the beginning when we're building something, like the foundation is key. And we've heard probably 1,000 messages where it talks about the foundation and using scriptures of where Jesus talks about the foundation, not on sand, et cetera. And one thing that I feel like I've found and resonate with what you're saying when it comes to the perseverance through the pain is the foundation is all this work. Like you're digging into the ground, you're laying a new level, you're putting in all these rods and metal, and like you just constant sweat and hard work. It's like really grit at that beginning process. And then you pour cement. And I think that is what is so hard is where you've done all the work that you've can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now you're just waiting for that cement to dry. There's not really much you can do. You're just like waiting for it to dry so that you can kind of build on top of what it holds. And it's like in that time of waiting after you've built and put in the hard work, you're waiting for it to dry. That's where that faith starts to doubt. And you start to wonder, like, is it all worth it? Am I really doing anything, or is it really going anywhere, or is this all for nothing? And that's where like we get the most doubts. That's where we get the most self-defeating ideologies and thinking thoughts in our head. And if we could just believe and have that faith in that moment to persevere, to stick it out and not give up. I think so often people give up right before their breakthrough moment. They give up right before they're about to see like the results from all their hard work, and they kind of throw up their hand and say, well, it was all for nothing. And so those two things just really stuck out in your story, faith and perseverance. You know, on that with how long you've been doing the podcast since 2020 now, or that's when you first initiated the steps to do it.
So I've been podcasting for close to 8 months now.
Okay. So you're about to come up on a year.
Yeah. I started last year. Yeah. So.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. And so from that point, what I found too, just on that note, I've been finding a lot of Christian podcasters just starting out. Like if you search like hashtag Christian podcasts, you'll see so many shows that are just now starting. It's like there's something happening when it comes to the podcasting world, and a lot of young Christian leaders who have this ambition to have their voice be heard in some way like that. And so I love that from the moment that you started figuring how to do it, how to do what you wanted to do, what would you suggest or what kind of advice would you give to someone who's just starting out? Maybe they have a passion for podcasting. They're trying to navigate. Let's start with this. Someone's trying to navigate their passion. Maybe they just got through their pain. They're starting to develop their purpose, their passion. What advice would you give to them just starting out? Not specifically in podcasting. We'll get to that in a second. But just for someone who's just starting out, trying to navigate that pain into purpose, what advice would you give to them?
Yeah. I would say patience, I think, is probably definitely a characteristic to cling on in the moment. Which is a very easier said than done statement. But I think that's where, as you mentioned, a lot of people give up in their faith is we lack patience. But if you truly want to get to know Christ and if you truly want to understand how he works, well, I'm sorry, patience is going to have to be in your vocabulary. So I would say definitely start off with patience. I mean, one thing about me when it came to going through strong emotional pain, there were like certain moments where I think I would pressure myself on feeling good in the moment, but then something would happen. I would get triggered. And then before I knew it, I would relapse emotionally. And it's like, I would get back into the same position I was again. I noticed this happened in like an occurrence of different events and different situations. I mean, there were days where, I mean, life would be good. Okay. I think I'm making progress. And then something, you know, would of course, I would be reminded of something and then I would get stuck into the same situation. But I think one thing, and it really reminds me of the story of Joseph, and I wonder if this was on his mind when he was locked in a dungeon after he was wrongly accused, was not taking your eyes off, you know, the prize, or not taking your eyes off of light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
You know, when we are surrounded by darkness, we have to understand that Jesus is the light. And even if he seems far away, point is we can identify him by the light. And one thing I think that kept me strong was understanding, you know what, my life is founded on Christ. And even though life is tough and I'm going through all this stuff, I have to understand that there is still light at the end of the tunnel. And it's about running to that light, walking to that light, and learning how to kind of grow into that light over time. And I think that's where patience really comes in. So many people think that you're going to find your healing, you're going to find your breakthrough, you know, just within a specific moment. But yeah. Some people don't realize that most of the miracles that Jesus did, for example, the man in the pool of Bethesda, I mean, it took him 38 years. That's nearly four decades.
Yeah.
Being stuck and paralyzed in what you have identified yourself with before Jesus out of nowhere comes and heals you. Same with the woman with the issue of blood. Like a lot of these people Jesus healed were in years of bondage, years of illnesses. But ultimately, it was their faith that they had, not losing sight of getting what they were looking for, knowing Jesus was the person who was going to heal them to find that healing. So yeah, I would say definitely starting off with patience, but also never taking your eyes off of the light. That's what the advice I would give to someone in that situation.
That's so powerful too. I love your analogy of Joseph in this story, because you truly see his pain turned into purpose. Mm-hmm. And even as you're talking about it, it really shows that in his patience, in his pain, he found his purpose. And it's actually, I feel like it makes perfect sense that when you look at his story, and after being years of like really just being kicked down, you think that he would have lost his morale, he would have lost his tenacity or ambition. But it's like at each level that there was a glimpse of hope. I mean, like when the baker and the cupbearer were in the prison with him, and he knew that the cupbearer was going to get out, he immediately, like without hesitation, was like, be sure to let him know that it was me who told you. I mean, if he was truly discouraged in spirit, he's like, yeah, another one bites the dust. Like it's like, yeah, get out of here now. Like he probably wouldn't have even, you know, foretold the vision, but it's like, you see that even though he was pressed down over and over and over and over, he still got back up and he was ready to just jump at opportunity. And how meaningful that he was a product of truly toxic leadership. When you think about it, Potiphar and his wife, truly toxic leadership. And he suffered at the hands of toxic leadership. And you see how powerful it is that in his pain, through his patience, he found an incredible purpose in providing healthy leadership. And he becomes a leader. It's like the very thing that he was being patient for. It wasn't just for him, but it's like it's almost like he was inspired to be a good leader for everyone else. And I think that God he sees that, and he sees when we have that genuine heart to use that pain for a purpose for others. It's like it's a powerful thing when you realize that you are for something more than yourself. And I feel like oftentimes our purpose becomes so much more meaningful when we make it about others rather than for myself. Me, it just doesn't work out that well. Yeah. But when it's for others, it keeps you driven. And I feel like that's the difference between those who are patient and impatient. Yeah. Is impatience is, when am I going to get mines? But when you're so much more patient, when you're like, I got to do this for somebody. If I could reach one person, if I could help one person that was in my shoes when I was going through this, then it'd be worth it. And it like motivates you past that level of patience. So that's great, man. I love what you're sharing. I love what you're saying. Now let's go specifically. Maybe there's someone that's listening on this and they're kind of like thinking, well, I want to start a podcast. Where should I start? What kind of advice would you share? For me, it's like when I first started, I had no idea what to do. And even as I was telling you before the call, like I just got my mic. Like I've been putting out messages for years now, and I just got a microphone, just got a web. Like I'm just now figuring things out after years. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice would you give to someone that kind of has an itch, inkling to starting a podcast? What kind of practical steps would you give them?
For one, I would say don't mind starting off slow. Don't mind starting off slow at all. I think the first thing to do, I mean, specifically if you're wanting to start a Christian podcast, you know, really kind of just make sure that God is in the midst of it, or God is definitely the foundation of it. For me, it took a lot to identify what could a good name be for this, for my specific show. And Free and Redeemed eventually came up. I mean, there was just so many things I was messing around with. But eventually when I heard Free and Redeemed, I'm like, man, that's catchy. But I feel like that's ultimately what we are meant to be as believers. Yeah. We're not meant to be believers in bondage, stuck, and just overall living in defeat. You know, God has meant us to be free. And you know what? The way we become free is we are redeemed by his name and redeemed by his grace.
You know, so let's just pause for a second. I want everyone to catch that as he's sharing his title, it's not just like it was catchy. It was like you could tell as he's elaborating that it's meaningful to him, like it's inspired. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, it has alliteration. It's like so often I think we try to make something cute or catchy to where it doesn't move us, it doesn't have meaning. It's just we're trying to kind of follow a fad. And so I think just emphasize, notice how everyone listening, everyone watching, that he is passionate. He's inspired by just the name. I just had to point that out. Please go on.
I appreciate that.
With your advice.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess making sure that God ultimately is in the midst of it. I mean, of course I knew it really came down to just identifying the name. I would even say patience is one thing too. I mean, there were times where I felt like everything should fall into place right away. But you got to realize, you know, when a seed is planted, it's not going to become an oak tree overnight. But another thing too, I think a big important step is take action. You know, it's easy to dream. It's easy to visualize. It's easy to say, man, wouldn't it be cool if one day, and not just for podcasting, like, oh, one day starting a podcast, or maybe one day starting a church, one day starting, you know, a Bible study at my college, like, oh, that would be so good. Like, no, like take action. You know, tomorrow is not promised. And, you know, if you started today, you know what, at the end of the day, it's, you know, you may not see the results you're hoping for, but ultimately, you know, it's not about getting results. It's not about getting results that I'm sure people in the world would applaud and say, oh, that's so cool. Like, no, it's more or less about growth and allowing growth to come over time. So I guess like, in the fundamental side of it, just simply take action, of course, be patient, and also know, like, hey, just put God in the midst of it. Do research, of course, as well. I had to do a lot of research on podcasting too. Like, okay, what are affordable microphones? I highly recommend using Buzzsprout, but something to really mention, and it's not really official yet, and of course it's being announced here on this specific podcast show. I plan on hopefully sometime by the mid-year or after or towards later this year to start a podcast mentoring program own. Just nice if someone's
plug.
Interested.
See, we didn't even talk about that, man. See, it's just a good plug right there.
Yeah. Just like if you want to take the right steps, making sure you're held accountable and helping someone motivate you to find the results you're looking for. It's part of the coaching business I want to do. It's not official yet, but eventually
it's brewing. Yeah.
Yeah. If you follow my show, or follow my YouTube channel. Yeah. The announcement will come, but this is kind of an unofficial announcement, but to throw that out there.
We'll have to make a special promotional for that. And I want to touch on something you said a second ago and how you said to take action. And I think that one of the biggest cop-outs that we as Christians use is I need to pray about it more. And I'm not suggesting that we don't pray about it, but so often we excuse action with spiritual labels. And oftentimes we're not like really praying about it. Like give yourself if you're going to pray about it, to give a timeline of like, I'm going to pray about it this long. And if I don't feel like God's giving me the big red stop sign, then I'm going to go for it. And I think that so often we just feel like timid and insecure. I think insecure is the best word. We feel so insecure about being used by God, and we think that we're just not good enough. And it makes me think about even like for me, when we started our church, like I was like, I'm still just a nobody. I was a nobody when we started our church. I'm a nobody now. But at the end of the day, I can reach somebody. And that's what's really meaningful. And we just started in our apartment. We had like 18 people showed up. That was 18 more people than I thought were going to show up to church that day.
Wow.
It was a powerful witnessed for me, just like sometimes you just got to go, like you just got to take action.
You just got to do it. Yeah.
And for your first episode, so what if you don't have any listeners? Like someone will listen to it. I, for our church podcast, I still have people tell me that they're like going all the way back and listening from the beginning. I'm like, are you sure about it? I don't even know what I said then. And a lot's changed over the years. But to know that content that I created 5 years ago is being listened to today, like it's a powerful concept. So don't think that just because no one listens to it right when it comes out, that it's wasted seed. It still has plenty of potential. So just go for it and don't look at anything you're doing for God as not good enough, or you're not good enough, or the work didn't bring about fruit. Like it takes time to really see some fruit. Yeah. Get at it and you will see fruit down the line if you don't give up. I mean, you're talking about Simon's been doing it for 8 months and he's been putting out podcasts. You do weekly or monthly?
Weekly.
Weekly I used to do podcast, weekly episode, every week just hitting it. And we did an interview like a month ago and he's like, okay, I'm going to, you should see it in about a month and a half. I'm like, what? Like I'm over here doing it just week by week. This guy is a month ahead. And so he's grinding. Yeah. He's being diligent. He's being a good steward and he's continuing so much further to where he's ahead. And that means that he's not stopping for what he's seeing right in front of him. He's putting work for the future because he believes, he has faith that there's more work to be done. And so I just have to hit on that, man. You're doing a great job. You're being a good steward. You're grinding. I think that's my favorite word is just the grind. So many young leaders avoid the grind. We think that it's supposed to be easy and cute and it's just not. It's gritty, bloody, sweaty, teary. Like it is hard work. And I love what you're doing. I love the grind that you're putting in. Yeah. You know, with that being said, let me get into a question here. What would you say has been the greatest change that you have made as a leader yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say, and it's funny you asked that because I was thinking what is not so much a change, but like what is something that I guess kind of like rewording your question a bit, like what is something that I could say that brought change into my life, or what are the things that open new doors in my life? And I would actually have to say probably kind of a mix of two words, probably as we mentioned earlier, perseverance and renovation. Renovation, in my opinion, I think is probably the most underrated word in Christianity. As a matter of fact, our church recently had almost a whole entire year doing a series on that. But if you think of renovation, it's simply like if someone's renovating a house, what happens? Well, they have to tear down some walls. They have to move furniture. They have to take apart certain things and they have to break down things. And ultimately it's a big mess and no one likes renovation. But what happens during that process? It's like eventually it's turned into a nicer kitchen, a nicer bedroom, or ultimately a nicer house. And I think that's what God ultimately probably definitely brought in my life during that, my pain. It was, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, it was cutting certain people out of my life, cutting certain things out of my life. And it was
hard. Doing a good cutting, just cut some people out, get rid of them. They're not doing any good.
Yeah. And it was more or less not so much, hey, these people are horrible people and we should hate them. Like, no, it's more or less like it's rebuilding you. And it's actually rebuilding the other person as well, rather if they realize it or not. But ultimately going through renovation and going through that process of renovating my specific heart, it brought perseverance. And looking up on, I actually wrote it down in the notes, on dictionary.com, I mean, simple definition of perseverance is persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. So I think, you know, when you go through a renovation season in your life, ultimately, what does that do? That actually builds perseverance, because if you know how to be patient, if you know how to ultimately trust God, when, you know, trusting God definitely is not something you want to hear or talk about, it really brings change ultimately. But let's be real here. Change is painful.
Yeah.
Nobody likes change. I mean, if
Everyone when it says comes to, they like change, but no one wants to change.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, even if going back to the house analogy, I mean, who likes moving to another house? Who likes moving out of an apartment? No one does.
Yeah.
I mean, you're carrying
unless you're
heavy
moving into a really dope new place.
Yeah.
It ultimately the just pain a little bit smoother.
Yeah. Lifting couches, moving beds, moving refrigerators, yeah, yeah, and all this stuff. It's like it
giving
sucks.
Me PTSD over here, man.
Yeah. But once you actually move everything in, you actually realize, man, that process, it was worth it, you know, moving into this new space in my life. So that's ultimately what I would say, you know, what really, what I can say I'm really honored that God did is basically it was perseverance and renovation. Yeah. And some listeners who are probably young leaders may be asking like, okay, what are the steps to do that? Quickly going through some 3 points I wrote down. I would say number one is cling to Christ. Mm. I feel like that's probably the first step a lot of people miss when they become a Christian.
Yeah.
And I think that's why as tough as it is to bring the scripture up in Luke, when Jesus says, you know, where people are, you know, during judgment day or, you know, when he closes the door, people are shouting, we ate and drank with you. And I think Jesus is saying, well, I didn't know you. And I know that's a crazy scripture to bring up. It's tough. But ultimately, I think what Jesus is just looking for in Christianity is who's going to cling to him, who's mm-hmm. going to run to him like an actual relationship, like a young child runs to his parent when they are hurt, right, when they are scared. And a lot of people today cling to so many other things in this world. They cling to pornography. They cling to drugs. They cling to a relationship. Recently, I know I've been working, I used to do a men's leadership or a men's community group, discipleship group. I led it. One thing I can say a bunch of young single men cling to is wanting to be in a relationship with girls, wanting validation from girls. And I can even say that was a struggle. Yeah. But ultimately, I'm realizing like, man, Jesus is saying, just cling to me. You want confidence? Cling to me. Cling to me. That's all you really got to do. And Jesus says it in Matthew, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest.
Yeah. And I feel like on that note, you know, when you think, I like what you said about cling to Jesus, like in a relate as a relationship. And so often in our church culture, we either project like it's like two sides. There's either the prosperity Jesus, where the way that Jesus is preached is really teaching for people to cling to materialism. God, give me a new car. God, give me this, give me that.
Yeah.
And we're projecting cling to material things. And then the other side of it is cling to Jesus for health insurance, cling to him as an insurance adjuster.
And you're just
really clinging to Jesus to get out of hell free card. And when you see that Jesus, I mean, I feel like just like you're saying in this verse, he's really just making this pure relational touch point to where I didn't know you. You didn't know me and I didn't know you. You wanted me for these things, but you didn't want me. And I think that's a really powerful aspect as you're talking about cling to Jesus. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And to continue on, to add on to what you're saying. So when we cling to Christ, the way you truly know if you're really building a deep relationship with him, and I think this is where the hard part actually, or where it gets a bit harder, is when you have obedience with him. Here's the thing. A lot of people are like, how do I hear the voice of Christ? God, what are you speaking to me? They have their Bibles open, everything. They listen to podcasts. I realized during the time of, you know, my wilderness season, I think I realized that the voice of God definitely tests your spirit. It definitely tests your flesh.
Yeah.
Most of the time when the Lord is speaking to you, I think it's like having you take a step that you may not want to take. And that's, you know, and Jesus, I love how he says, you know, I knock on the door of the heart. Yeah. You know, when I dork, are you going to open? Sometimes it's like, hey, you need to forgive that person. You need to forgive that person. You see, you're stuck. You're wanting answers, but you need to make the decision to forgive. You need to cut that person off. I'm knocking on the door, make the decision to forgive, follow me, watch what happens. Just trust me. Sometimes, hey, you need to put a block on your computer. You need to put a block on your computer. Go and talk to your pastor. Go and let them know that you're struggling. They're going to pray. Let them pray with you. take that step. And that's where I said obedience is so much, in so many words, it's taking action. And so many people, you know, they're living life today like, man, I know what God is speaking to me. But sometimes I think our flesh really gets in the way, because ultimately I think one sin that is bound with a lot of Christians is pride. You know, pride is like, no, I think I'm going to do it this way because I know it's the right way, until something falls on your face. And then immediately it's like, well, God, come on. Why did it happen that way?
Yeah.
And obedience ultimately is the key to freedom. You know, rather if a Christian wants to hear that or not, it's the key to freedom. Yeah. And Jesus says, he who obeys my commands, you know, who loves me and obeys my commands, the will of the Father is in him.
Yeah.
And obedience, I think, is definitely a huge thing to build enduring faith is.
Yeah. And on that too, I mean, I feel like we make it so complicated. We really overcomplicate that simple aspect of obedience to where it's like I was saying earlier, it's like you feel God telling you something clear and you're like, well, I just need to pray about it. It's like, what is there to pray about? It's in the scripture.
Yeah.
I remember someone asking about like tithing, and this isn't a plug to, I'm a pastor. Okay. I'm not plugging people to tithe.
That means tithe. Like.
I remember a time where someone was asking about like simply like, well, I don't know if God's calling me to tithe. And I was like, well, if you don't want to, you don't have to. That's up to you. That's between you and God. But like, it's not a feeling thing. It's not something to pray about. It's like, it's in scripture. And it's like so many other, you could apply it to so many things. I remember like some kids that needed a home. They're literally orphans in the church. When other people were being asked like, hey, do you know anyone that could take them in? The response was, well, I need to just really pray about it. It's like, what is it? It's not much to pray about when the Bible says to take care of the widows and orphans. This is your chance. How often you get literal orphans knocking at your door and you're ignoring the call because you need to super spiritualize your disobedience.
Yeah.
And it's just sometimes it's like you just it goes to what we were talking about earlier. You just need to kind of put some grit to it and just do a hard thing and allow faith to be faith. Faith isn't this pretty little butterfly in your heart. Why? It's an action. It's a step of obedience, even though you don't see the inside. The other day, someone asked me, so what led you to start the church and what are your next steps? I was like, I started because I felt like God told me to. It's like, I wish I had a really pretty answer. But I was like, I just felt really strongly that God was telling me. And I fasted and I prayed and God just really told me to do it. So I did it. And it ended up being this great thing with a lot of painful moments. But it was just that simple step of obedience. And then at the end, I'm like, oh, man, this is great. Like, this is, I see so much potential here. But it took that initial obedience. I just get passionate with what you're talking about, man. Yeah, I know you got one more. Let's hear it. Let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah. And to finish off, I think if we learn how to have obedience in Christ, obviously clinging to him, I think what really increases the intimacy is humbling yourself in Christ. Humbly, you know, people ask all the time, like, how do I humble myself? Because I feel like we're in a constant battle. I mean, we're in a constant battle with the spirit and the flesh all the time. You know, our flesh is crying out, begging to be fed, while our spirit is standing there willing to be used and obviously spiritually fed. And for me, something that I personally learned about humility is it's like going through those two steps, clinging to Christ. What does he have to say to you? And if it's to, hey, start evangelizing in your school.
Yeah.
There are coworkers here who have no idea who I am. You don't have to push them or pressure them into accepting me right off the bat. Just let them know I love them, you know? Yeah. And that's humility. And humility is like, God, I cannot do this alone. And I think seeing, and I know you're talking about like seeing different Christian podcasters, and all the time I see different Christian YouTubers. And I know we talked about this when we did the episode on my show, is we see a lot of people today who feel so led. Oh, I need to call this guy out. I need to call that guy out. I need to like tell people this and that. And we've made Christianity like get free in your own strength, like get free, become wise in your own strength, do all this stuff in Christianity in your own strength. But we don't realize that Jesus came for a purpose, and it was to be our savior, to be our personal guide, as he mentioned, with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there. So when we can humble ourselves saying, God, you know, if without you, I'm going to do the wrong decision. I'm going to make the wrong decision. I'm going to do something out of my prideful heart.
Yeah.
But without your guidance, I know you are going to lead me to do the right thing. And it's funny because even in the term of forgiveness, like when the disciples asked Jesus, how do you forgive seven times? And then Jesus says, no, seven times seven or 70 times seven. And then when he gives them the parable about the rich, the man with 100 talents or 1,000 talents, right away, the disciples feel convicted and they're like, well, Jesus, give us the strength. We pray that we may increase faith to what? To forgive.
Yeah.
So if we really want to grow in humility, sometimes I think it leads back into what we talked about in the beginning of this episode is sometimes God is going to break you. And I could even say, because I know back when we were going to the conferences at Bethany, I could say that is something they taught very well on, is allowing yourself to be crushed and let the oil just kind of, you know, drain from you. Because if Jesus can break you, then he could repair you. And that's ultimately how we become humble. And how do we become humble? Well, I mean, in Matthew 23, verse 12, it says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled.
Yeah.
Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So I think to be humble, sometimes we have to know our troubling times could be God saying, okay, let's see if this brings humility out of it. Or is it just going to increase pride even more? It's this guy's decision. But those are the three things. So, yeah.
I love this ending on humility. And what I see is it makes me think about the story of Jonah in the sense that Jonah had the chance to be obedient to Christ. And through his running away, through his resistance, It's just like this analogy you're saying is that he ended up being crushed. But I was even thinking about this story the other day that God, nowhere do we see in that book of God telling him to be thrown into the water. Do we see that. And it was, what I see is in his own actions of resistance, he puts himself in a place of being crushed. It's like what Proverbs says is that we often ruin our own lives and then blame God for it. And he throws himself in the water. He tells him to throw me overboard. And his salvation was seen in this big fish. So Jonah chose to go overboard. God sent a fish to save him. And in the moment of his own downfall, God sends a path for him to be redeemed in a sense. And that redemption isn't always pretty. Being in the belly of a big fish isn't a pretty thing. I feel like in that painful moment where it was his salvation, but not the best kind of salvation, his redemption. But we often think that redemption is like when we're going through, if we like need money, it's like we want God to send us a lottery ticket. We don't want God to send us a job that we don't want. We expect something so much prettier. We don't expect this smelly fish. And while he was in there through his pain, as he's persevering these three days, he all of a sudden begins to hope again. And you see his prayer was it Jonah 2, where he's pretty much just crying out to God and saying, God, seaweed is wrapped around my head and I long for your salvation. I long to be out of here. And it's like in his pain, he recognized how good God has been to him. And that even in this moment of redemption, it was his very salvation. He realized he didn't want to die. He didn't want to drown. And God kept him safe, even in his resistance. And to know that, at the very end, he gets spit out where he was called to, like, praise God. And so often what is crazy is that so often when we experience that runaway moment, we think that we have to start all the way back from zero, that if we mess up, we make a mistake, that it's like we fell off the zip line and we have to go all the way back from the beginning and we're not good enough anymore to be used by God. right after Jonah's resistance, he gets spit out to his calling. Like, there's no retraining. Yeah. There's no go fast and pray some more before you come back so that your heart's right. It's like, no, yeah. Now that you're ready, let's do it. The harvest is ready, Jonah. Come on, let's go.
let's do it. Yeah.
And so I feel like that humility is seen within that obedience, that when we're just willing to trust God to do something that we're intimidated by. Even for me, I've been ministering for 13 years now. Just the other day, I was praying for someone and I felt like the Holy Spirit told me, I don't even remember what it was now, but I feel like the Holy Spirit told me to say something that I would have no idea why I would say this thing or do this thing.
Yeah.
And to the point where I felt uncomfortable. I felt like, oh, this is, you know, and I do this all the time, but it's like in this moment, I just felt like kind of weird. And it's a humbling thing to do something that you're not sure of. And so many people, they know that God is speaking to them, but they're unsure of themselves. They're unsure. And I would say that insecurity is rooted in pride. That humility says, whatever you say, boss, and just allow yourself to be humble enough to believe that God has called you to do something, even though you don't feel like you're called, that you're ready to answer that calling. Like sometimes you just need to be obedient and do it. So I love what you're sharing, Simon. Yeah. It's great stuff. On that note, we're already going to be out of time, but on that note, I want to touch on something that you spoke earlier about in the podcast. One thing I feel like it was worth repeating is you talked about the moments where you had to cut certain people out of your lives. And I feel like oftentimes within leadership, young aspiring leaders within Christianity, we often get confused of who to cut out and what does that even mean? And what I've found time and time again in my own leadership is that I would give like level 10 access to somebody that was only given like level 3 feedback to me. And I just felt like I was constantly like giving 110% to somebody. And then after like 9 months, they would bail out. And I'm just like, what? Like, I gave you everything I got. Why would you, how do you have the gall to leave after I've given you so much? And I was given level 10 for level 3 people. And I'm not saying that their value is at a level 3. I'm talking about their commitment to me was at a level 3 while I was committing to them level 10.
Yeah.
And I think that we make that kind of mistake so often. And the Bible verse I think about is when Jesus says, don't throw your pearls to pigs. And I think that for me, even right now, like I'm learning how meaningful and important it is to be mindful of how valuable your time is and how valuable you are, and that you're not obligated to give the best of yourself to every single person. there's like a level of reason, a level of decency that, like right now, I'm giving the best of myself for this episode. When it comes to like individual, like people calling you, people texting you, people asking of you more and more and more, you do not have to feel obligated to give it unless you feel like it's something like truly not worth it, but unless you feel like it's something that you need to do or that it is good soil to plant in.
Yeah.
And I all the time I would have like people that would give me 110% and they'd like just be, they'd literally be telling me like, you made such a difference in my life, Homer. And I would feel guilty that I didn't give them more because I felt like I barely gave them anything at all. And they're like, thank you so much. You made such a difference. And it's like, man, I should have been giving these people the 110%. And then the people that were level 3s in my life, I'm giving them everything thinking that maybe they'll catch it. Maybe they'll catch it. And it's like just totally backwards, never a thank you, never any gratitude. And so I just felt like it was worth touching on again. It's so meaningful, especially for young leaders who are really wanting to make a difference. And you, you're, you're starting to get overwhelmed with all the people demanding your time.
Yeah.
You just really need to know that you do not have to give everybody your time. You do have the right to reserve yourself. And I think for me, like, privacy is one of the most important things in the world now to me, especially after kids. You don't get any privacy with kids. If you think pooping is a normal thing, it is special. Pooping and privacy is special after you have kids. But all that aside, Simon, I'm so grateful for you being on the show today. Where can people find you if they want to get to know you, want to get connect with you? How can they find you?
Yeah. So, of course, if you want to listen to my content, of course, the name of the podcast within itself is called, of course, Free and Redeemed. You can listen to it on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcast, Amazon, just anywhere where you like to listen to podcasts. It's on there. I recently am trying to get better at YouTube, trying to post more kind of individual content on there. Video editing is more tougher than podcast editing. So the name of it is called Free and Redeemed.
Nice.
However, if you're wanting to search more information, and I'll probably send you the link and everything, but my blogging channel or my blogging site is called thefreeandredeemed.net. Of course, it includes the podcast and everything. And of course, more additional stuff will be coming very soon. So yeah, that's where they can find me.
All right, great. Freeandredeemed.net. And do you have Facebook, Instagram, anything like that? Is it all on the site?
Yeah. So it's all on the site. Of course, if you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm more active on there. So it's Simon Daniel Boy. I'll probably just leave the link on there as well. But yeah, follow me on Instagram. Of course, I'm on Facebook and different social media platforms.
So. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Simon. And remember what he just said right now. He has all this audio content on podcasting. But if you want to see the beginning phases of video editing, maybe you're interested in trying to try that out. You can see the beginning phases. You could see how the sausage is made on his YouTube channel. So go and subscribe to his channel and get a fresh look. Thank you so much, Simon. With everyone else, thank y'all for being a part of this show today. Have a great life.